All right, we're going to be looking at I guess it's a familiar story to probably all of you this morning, and I hope again that even though it's a familiar story, that God will give you a new insight into what He wants to teach us from this story. And we know that according to His Word, it's living and active, and that simply means God's Word's dynamic, and you can read a story now and get all you can get out of it, and then a month from now you can read that same story in God's Word, and He can teach you so much more than you did even now. And certainly that's been my experience over, I guess, I don't know when I started reading, but probably at least 50 years ago. So we're going to be looking at the story of Mary and Martha, particularly the episode where Jesus is teaching in their home. And so we'll be looking at that story. And let's begin with a word of prayer before we do that. Father, we again thank You for the wonderful fellowship that we share as brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank You for my brothers and sisters here and for the encouragement that I receive from them through Your Spirit. Father, we ask You to teach us this morning by Your Holy Spirit. Help us to have a new understanding of the importance of Your Word and the importance of focusing our very lives on Christ and on His words. We ask You to teach us by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I'll read five verses. And then what I'm going to let you do, I'm going to pass out some materials then. And I'm going to let you, it's going to be a little bit hard because we're a little cramped, but I'm going to let you try to kind of group up into smaller groups and talk about some of these things. I've got some questions. But let's begin by just reading the story. And it says, as they were traveling along, now the they, it appears if you read before this, they are Jesus and His disciples. Luke 10, 38. Thank you. I didn't say what verse. Luke 10, 38. Jesus and His disciples are traveling along. And verse 38 says, now as they were traveling along, He entered a certain village. We're going to talk about what village that was in a minute. And a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. Now, you might, from this, might assume that, well, first time he's ever seen Martha, but we'll see that's not true. And she had a sister called Mary, who, moreover, was listening to the Lord's word, seated at His feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So it's a fairly simple, straightforward story, and we want to look at some of the issues today. So could I get you, if you would, to get in groups of families and in groups of maybe, you know, 8 or 10 or whatever, and you students, if y'all will kind of join some group or family, I would appreciate it. And again, I brought some sheets to color, and as I said last Sunday, these are not just for children. If you like to color, feel free to take one. I like to color. So if you like to color, take the coloring sheet. I'll be passing some crayons to you. Like you children. You children, if you don't like the color, you don't have to take one, okay? So, you pass those around to that group right behind you. What to do. Now, some of you people are a little more literate and you prefer not to color, so I also have a word find sheet, one of these matrices where you find words, so that will also give you something to look for. So if you like a word find sheet, take one of those.
This direction, just to everybody, a word find sheet.
And then everybody needs to get one of these, so I'll just sort of pass these out. And I have some pencils if you need pencils. Everyone will take one of these. Everybody would take one of these. These are your instructions. Well, I had pencils. Who needs a pencil? Pencils. Pencils. Okay. Now, let me tell you what I want you to do.
Yes.
What I'd like you to do, there are some questions on this sheet that everybody took. And we've read the scripture, and you might need to refer back to the scripture. But what I'd like you to do is the group you're in, I'd like you just to discuss these questions a few minutes. What you think about them, and then we will all talk about them together. So I'll give you maybe 5 or 7 or 8 minutes to do that. Thank you.
Why did you do that?
Well, what's
Okay, are we about to wrap it up? One more minute. Get them started, Matt. Can you get them started? Okay, slow group. Okay, this slow group over here is finished. So, all right, let's all maybe kind of rotate our chairs back, and you don't have to. But let's talk about these things, and also I want to show us some more scripture to kind of just give us a fuller picture of Mary and Martha. Because it turns out that Mary and Martha were not just a couple of ladies that Jesus would walk along the road and just encountered, and they invited him in, you know, have a meal, and they never saw him again. Turns out, if you look through Scripture, Mary and Martha turned out to be some of the closest friends Jesus had. Matter of fact, Mary and Martha had a brother. Anybody know who his brother? Their brother's name was?
Lazarus.
Lazarus, wow. Now, Lazarus is an interesting character in the New Testament because Lazarus, at least in the New Testament, is the only person we know of who did what and what? Yeah, he died, was buried. I think it was 4 days in the grave. And pardon the expression, but to the point that his corpse was stinking. I mean, he was really dead. They call that graveyard dead. Lazarus was dead, and then what did Jesus do? Well, Mary and Martha, you know, sent for him, and he delayed coming. And then when he got there, they were a little upset because he hadn't come earlier. And he said, you know, really, don't worry about this. And then what did he do? He went to the tomb, and he called Lazarus forth, and Lazarus came forth, said they had to unwrap the burial material around him. So the point is, Mary and Martha aren't just, you know, just in people who Jesus had one encounter with. Mary and Martha were close friends. And we turn to John chapter 10. We'll see something else about Mary and Martha. Chapter 12. John chapter 12. And just look at the first three verses there. Just to give you another picture. Now, this is after, if you know the story of Lazarus, and we weren't going to go over that in detail, I just told it to you, but it appears they were close friends then. Otherwise, I don't think Mary and Martha would have called for Jesus to come when Lazarus got sick. They expected him to come. He was a close friend. In John chapter 12, we read, verse 1, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Now, we read earlier, the first thing I read was that Jesus came to a village and Martha invited him into her home. Well, that village was Bethany, and it was just outside of Jerusalem. Just outside of Jerusalem. So he came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So this John chapter 12 now is after Lazarus has already been raised from the dead. He's just identifying that this Bethany was where Lazarus was. So they made him supper there, and Martha was serving. That's an interesting phrase, especially in light of what we're going to talk about today. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Verse 3. Mary, therefore, took a pound of very costly, genuine spikenard ointment, that's perfume, and she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. Now, we're not going to finish the rest of the story, but Judas kind of shows maybe his true nature there because he gets all upset and says, my goodness, this expensive perfume, you've wasted it here at the foot of Jesus. We could have taken that perfume and sold it. And some of you know Judas was they think he was the treasurer of the disciples. So maybe he would have given that money to the poor. We're not sure. But nevertheless, he was upset about this. Well, let's look back at this story of Mary and Martha again. And just let me, again, make the point that Mary and Martha were not casual acquaintances. They were really close friends. They knew who Jesus was. And so, first off, let's just look at our questions now. And I'll let you help me since you've talked about these. Martha, when she invited Jesus to her home and was going to fix a meal for him, what was she? She was exercising what we sometimes call one of our spiritual gifts, which is that?
Hospitality.
Hospitality. We might even think of another one or two.
Service.
Yeah, gifts of service. So this is a good thing. We should look for opportunities to exercise our spiritual gifts. Don't let this story make us think, well, we shouldn't do that. We should be hospitable. We should invite people into our homes. We should prepare a meal for them or some other way as a way of serving them. Let's look at the second thing. While Martha was serving, what was Mary doing? Okay. So we get this picture, and maybe it goes along with this one right here. Oh, taped it real good, didn't it? This picture, this shows Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and then shows Martha in the background with a bowl. But in my mind, Martha was in the kitchen. I don't know why. You know, now, maybe they just had a home that didn't have but one big room. That's possible, too. My parents, one time after I got away from home, moved out to a lake, and they actually moved to a house that just had one big room, and the kitchen was in one end and the bed was at the other end, so it was just one big room. So nevertheless, here's a picture of Mary and Martha, and the one thing I don't like about this picture, and you may not can see it carefully, you're welcome to look at it later, but I don't think the person who drew this picture, I don't think maybe they had read the scriptures carefully, because Martha looks a little happy to me And in this scripture, I don't see Martha being very happy, do you? Okay, well, we asked what Mary was doing, and we know Martha was serving. What else was Martha doing besides getting the meal ready? What was happening in Martha's heart?
Complaining.
She was complaining. Good. What else? Yeah. She was kind of getting a little worked up. What else?
Distracted.
She was distracted. Anything else that you can think of might have been going on in Martha's heart and in her mind?
She was feeling unappreciated.
She was feeling unappreciated.
Good.
Good. We've all been there, haven't we? She was feeling unappreciated. What do you think was her attitude toward Mary?
A little bitterness.
Yeah, these don't. I don't know. These words we've all talked about don't seem to go with a happy face, do they? So Martha, the scriptures say here again. Let's go back to Luke 10, verse 40. And as Stan said, he used the word distracted. She was distracted with all her preparations. Now, as we said, there's nothing wrong with exercising your spiritual gifts and serving people. This whole lesson today is an issue of what we call priorities. What is most important to us? And what do you think, based on this story at this particular time, what was the most important thing to Martha?
Lunch.
Lunch, but
being appreciated.
Being appreciated. I'm sure, I don't know this, but I'm guessing if Martha was like a lot of the women that I've had in my life, I've only had one wife. I've had sisters and mothers and grandmothers and aunts. And somehow or another, when they prepare food, they do like to get a compliment about it. So I think Martha was wanting to be appreciated, as Kevin said. I think she probably, this was Jesus, so what do you think she was probably doing in her preparation? Do you think she was just throwing some pimento cheese sandwiches together?
No.
No, I don't think so. I bet she had the finest china that she had. And I bet she was really dressing this meal up really in a very special way. And all of that's very good, but it's an issue of priorities. Now, she gets all worked up. And finally, she gets worked up to the point she just can't stand it anymore if she's in the kitchen. If she's in the kitchen, she apparently comes out of the kitchen. Or either that or she shouts. I'm not sure. But she came up to Jesus, and what'd she say to Jesus? She says in verse 40, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me." Now, you know, it doesn't look like she went to Mary and said, "Mary, I need some help." As a matter of fact, we don't know what went on before this, but it's possible Mary could have been helping her all morning. I mean, we don't have any clear evidence whether Mary helped her or not. Maybe Mary was helping her, and then when Jesus showed up, Mary probably stopped preparing and started what? Listening. Well, Martha wants Jesus to put Mary in her place and say, "Mary, get back in that kitchen. Get my lunch ready," or whatever they were serving. But what does Jesus say here? And he makes it very clear to all of us some issues about priorities, because rather than telling Mary what to do, what Martha wanted him to do, he says to Martha, and the way he says it, repeating her name twice, it sounds like, you know, he didn't say it in a harsh way. It sounds like he said it in a very gentle, kind way. "Martha, Martha." You're worried and you're bothered about so many things. Now, let's just stop there and talk about our own lives for a minute. Do you get worried and bothered about a lot of things? Well, is it a sin to be worried and bothered about a lot of things? Well, it depends on where we let that worry and bother take us, doesn't it? if that worry and that bother and that being in a tizzy over things takes us away from our commitment to the Lord and His Word, then yes, it's a sin. Because when Jesus says to Martha, you're worried and bothered about many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. Now, what was that one thing that was necessary? Jesus and His words. He's there teaching. Now, it's not clear again from this passage whether there are a lot of people that Jesus is teaching in the home. We know He was traveling with His disciples, but then the verse says that Jesus welcomed him, not them, into her home. So it's possible that Jesus was sitting there having just a very, very personal conversation with Mary. And think about that. What an awesome opportunity to sit down with the God of the universe in the flesh and have just a conversation with Him. And guess what? Martha was missing out on that, wasn't she? Folks, we have that same opportunity. And if we're busy and bothered and worried with the things of life, we miss the opportunity. We miss the opportunity. And Jesus, rather than getting on to Mary, He actually tells Martha, Mary has chosen the good part, and it won't be taken away from her. Now, a point we want to make here is that if we spend time listening to the words of Jesus, now how do we, kids, how do we listen to Jesus' words? What are ways to do that? How do we go about listening to Jesus' words?
Read the Bible.
Okay, excellent. We read the Bible.
Pray.
Absolutely. What else? What are other ways we hear Jesus' words? Those are two very, very good ways. What are some other ways? We listen to whom?
Preachers.
There you go. We listen to... We heard God's Word preached this morning, Brother Paul. And we were listening to the words of God this morning as Paul preached to us. Matter of fact, some of what Paul was preaching this morning applies in this lesson, doesn't it? We hear sometimes, children, we hear the words of Christ from our parents. Sometimes our parents share the words of Christ with us. Maybe you have a home devotional time during the week. Maybe you're a family that when you sit down to eat together, maybe you read a passage of Scripture. I don't know what your family practices are, but whatever they are, that's a time to hear a word from Jesus. And then all of us, of course, as was said, we can all read God's Word and listen to words from Jesus. Well, there's, I guess, three things that I wanted to, sort of finish on this morning with this particular lesson. One of these things has to do, again, with priorities. What is absolutely, to the Christian, the most important priority in life? It's our personal relationship to the Lord, isn't it? And that's a picture that we see here of Mary. Mary is having a very personal encounter with Jesus. Mary's not hearing about Jesus from someone else. Mary's not even necessarily reading something that someone else said about Jesus. She has the opportunity to sit down and absolutely sit at Jesus' feet and listen to Him. And we have that opportunity when we read the Word and pray. So we have that same opportunity. Look at Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22:37. Now, my Bible is not what they call one of those red letter editions. Anybody have a Bible where these words are in red? Okay, anybody else? What does that mean? Does that mean the publisher, the printer just thought occasionally I'd like to change the color? No, what does that mean? Jesus said those specific words. It's a quote from Jesus. So let's see what Jesus had to say. Matthew 22, 37. And again, remind you of what's going on here. One of the teachers of the law came up to Jesus and said, "What's the greatest commandment?" And here was Jesus' answer. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and most important commandment." So what's the most important priority we can have in our lives is our relationship to Christ. Our commitment to Christ. Our focus on His words. Secondly, of our lesson today, this passage of Scripture that we looked at, we cannot really have a strong priority on the relationship to Christ without also being committed to His Word. We said this morning, how do we know what Christ says for us to do? Well, the answer is we either read it or we listen to it being preached or taught. And so God's Word is very, very important. Look in Luke 11, verse 27. I think this is a very interesting passage from lots of perspectives. But Jesus and His disciples were, again, traveling along. And verse 27, this is Luke 11:27. "And it came about, while He said these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice." I think that means she shouted. "And she said, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed.'" She might have been a good Catholic, right? But look what Jesus responded with. Jesus says, and He said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and observe it." Jesus made it very, very clear that God's Word is to have a very, very high priority in our lives. And then the last thing that we want to see this morning in this particular episode with Mary and Martha is that Mary was investing her energies, her time, in something that would not lose its value. Now let's think about what Martha was doing in contrast. Martha was fixing probably a great meal. I bet it was good. I get the impression when I read about Martha that she's probably a pretty good cook and probably a great hostess. But what about Martha's meal? What about the ambiance that she might have had around that meal? In a few days, what would happen? All of that would pass away, wouldn't it? I mean, the food would, if there was any left over, it would have either been eaten as leftovers or spoiled. This, whatever preparation she did to make this meal be a great experience, probably all of that would have been I assume if she rearranged the furniture or then other special things that we all do when people come over. Of course, when they leave or the next day, we rearrange the furniture back. More for, I guess you'd say, comfortable living, maybe. But look about Mary. What about the energy Mary invested? It'll last for eternity. She heard the very words of Christ. And they must have made a very, very big impression on her because we read about what she did later. You think she recognized Jesus for who He was? I think Mary did. She wouldn't have broken this expensive perfume and anointed His feet and wiped His feet with her hair. She hadn't realized who He was. He was God in the flesh, wasn't He? And she realized this. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Turn back in the Old Testament. Let's see now. Genesis, Exodus, right after Song of Solomon. Well, I'm sorry, I had to get there. Isaiah 48. I should have marked it because I can't get my pages apart here. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. That's what Mary was focused on that day. She was focused on the very words of Jesus. That's what we should focus our priorities on, are the very, very words of Jesus. Life gets busy. I used to think when I was younger, much younger, when I was a teenager, I had a busy teenage life, and I thought that life might slow down when I got to college. Then I got to college, and I thought life might slow down when I got out of college. I almost never got out of college, but when I finally did eventually get out of college, I thought, well, that studying and everything's behind me now, life's going to slow down, but it didn't. And I don't want to discourage anybody, but I'm, you know, in my latter half of my fifth decade here, and life hadn't slowed down a whole lot yet. So we can all stay very, very busy with lots of things to do, but we sure need to focus on what's important. And we find that in God's Word and spending time in prayer and listening to sermons, lessons, but focusing and having our priorities in the right place as Mary did. I guess one footnote to this, that passage we read later, Martha was still serving. So I don't know if Martha ever really grasped the importance of what Jesus was saying or not, but in that latter passage that we read, Martha was still in the serving mode. So maybe that has a little bit to do with personality too, doesn't it? Certainly Martha was a person who wanted to serve others. But sometimes something that's good can get in the way of doing what's best. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your word and for the opportunity that we have to hear your word, to hear it preached as Paul preached to us this morning, to read it ourselves. What a wonderful blessing and privilege it is to have your word in our hands. Father, we have so many opportunities to even have added understanding. We can read different versions, different translations of your word. But Father, we all confess to you this morning that we don't put a high enough priority on that. So again, this morning, I pray that you would convict us, that you would cause us to repent and to make a new commitment to having your word and the person of Christ be foremost and top priority in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.